are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name's Patricia Traina, and I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. You can find the list and the various articles that I write over on my Twitter account at Patricia_Traina. And we have a big week ahead of us on Locked On Giants. Before we get to today's show topic and our special guests, just to look ahead, on Wednesday we're going to have the Locked On Bucks crossover show with James Yarko. Thursday is Twitter Thursday. We're going to devote part of that show to your draft questions, and to help me answer those draft questions, Emery Hunt of Football Game Plan is going to be on the line with me. So make sure you get those questions to me either on Twitter at Patricia_Traina, or email them to LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. And then I'm still working to try and schedule Justin Tuck, former Giants defensive end, to come on the show. We're going to try and get him on for Friday, but right now we're just trying to figure out how we're going to get him and when we're going to get him on the show, given the short work week and given his busy schedule. So, stick with me on that. I am working on that. But first, folks, we have a special guest. You're going to recognize this guy. I'm absolutely thrilled to have him back on the show. It's none other than the lovely and talented Edward Valentine of Big Blue View.
Oh, Patty, back home for a day.
I love it. Folks, you remember Ed Valentine? He's my former co-host. He's now over hosting Big Blue. It's Big Blue Radio. Is that what it's
Big
called?
Big Blue View Radio. Yes,
Big Blue View Radio. And he's come back because, hey, it's a new week as far as football goes. It's a Giants win. Giants beating the San Francisco 49ers 27-23. Ed, I don't know about you, but I sure hope I remember how to talk about a win.
A win, Patty? What? A win? Are you serious? A win? Is that really what we saw last night? I mean, come on, dude. I'm not sure either one of us knows how to do this anymore.
It's been so long. My gosh, we'd have to go back to week three before we could do that. But a lot of good things, some not so good things. And Ed, I think on offense, we have to start with Eli Manning, because, this guy, he's come under fire so much by so many people, fans, media, critics alike. And it wasn't a perfect game by any stretch of the imagination, but he did come up with the game-winning drive, his 36th career game-winning drive. And just talk a little bit about what you saw from Eli Manning and what looked different to you.
Well, Patty, you said that it wasn't a perfect game. And let's be honest, we've watched Eli for 15 years now. When has it ever been perfect? It's never perfect. There's always a missed throw or a goofy face or something along the way that looks ugly. But for me, this was classic Eli, because he was protected last night for a change. He was comfortable in the pocket. Given a chance to win the game, he made the throws that were necessary. I mean, I don't know. This might be the last time we'll ever see it. Who knows? But it was nice to see. It was a reminder of what he's done throughout his career. And you and I have said it, many, many times, what we still think, at times that he's capable of when given the opportunity by the players around him.
Yeah, and speaking of the opportunities of the players around him, the offensive line, I mean, by far, that had to be their best game of the year.
Oh, obviously, Patty. We all were looking forward to watching Jamon Brown, get his first start at right guard. And let's be honest, he wasn't perfect last night. I think he did. He was responsible, at least partially, for the one sack of Eli. He did commit a penalty, but he threw a terrific block on Manning's first touchdown pass. He cleared out the middle, allowed Eli, a lane to step up into and make that throw. this was progress, you know, on a lot of fronts, you know, for the offensive line, for the offense in general. You know, and that's what I wrote about today at Big Blue View, is it was a nice feel-good moment for Eli Manning, you know, to lead the game-winning drive. But for me, the bigger takeaway was that this was progress for the New York Giants. They did a lot of things that they hadn't been able to do. They scored a couple of touchdowns in the red zone. They ran the ball. They didn't run the ball, you know, tremendously, but they didn't go backwards on any of their running plays. And that, you know, as silly as it sounds, that was progress. So there were a lot of good things that happened, not to mention the fact that they simply played hard. They didn't quit when they were down 10 points halfway through the third quarter. So for me, you know, sorry to the folks out there who were interested in tanking and going 1-15, but I looked at that game as a real positive just because of the progress that was made, because of the good things we saw.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned not a lot of plays that went backwards in the running game. There were only three that went for zero or minus yardage. But, you know, a big takeaway that I saw is that it looks like the coaching staff finally has figured out a way to use Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham Jr. at the same time, something we really didn't see a whole lot of in the first eight games.
I think you're right, too, there, Patty. It was interesting last night. We saw eight games this season where the majority of the balls thrown to Saquon Barkley were checkdowns or, you know, emergency throws when Eli, you know, simply felt like he had no place else to go with the ball. But last night in the game-winning drive, we saw a wheel route, you know, intended for Barkley. We saw an angle route over the middle that put the Giants inside the red zone. You know, we saw some designed plays where Barkley was split out wide, used as a weapon. You know, for that matter, he was quiet most of the game, but with the game on the line at the end and the final drive, we saw the Giants get Evan Engram down the field, which was also nice to see. It was nice to see him running a route that wasn't, you know, a 2-yard shallow crossing route, you know, going across the field.
Yeah, basically we saw a lot of what we saw basically in the spring. Remember, we used to see the wheel routes, the arrow routes. We used to see Engram run those deep routes. So basically all the things we were seeing during the off season, during training camp, the coaches dusted all that stuff up and brought it out in this game. And in the passing game, Eli Manning targeted 10 different receivers, going 19 of 31 for 188 yards. The three touchdowns, no interceptions, by the way. I know that had been a problem. No fumbles by Eli Manning. Matter of fact, no fumbles at all by the Giants. So, I mean, the passing game just seemed to be, you know, it wasn't perfect. Again, there were a couple plays where Eli underthrew Odell Beckham Jr. on a play, which I think had Odell been able to catch that ball, he would have been gone for another touchdown. And then there was that play down in the, I think it was inside the five, where Eli didn't even see an uncovered Beckham. But for the most part, solid decisions. They did what they needed to do to win the game. You know, some people will say, well, it was against the 49ers team, which is just as bad. But look, they get paid too. And someone had to win that game, and the Giants were clearly the better team, you know, at least for 1 week.
Hey, you know, center Spencer Pulley had a catch. I mean, how can you complain when your center gets a catch?
I know that. And not only did Spencer Pulley have a catch, but the fullback, Eli Penny, 2 out of 2 for 12 yards. I mean, so everybody was getting involved in that game.
It was impressive, Patty, and I do think, you know, we started, you know, we talked so much about the offensive line, and that's where it starts. And having blocking, you know, having a quarterback comfortable in the pocket and not going backwards, this was the playbook. I think this was the kind of stuff that we expected from Pat Shurmur and the Giants offense. And to be honest, simply getting, you know, adequate blocking and being able to stay on schedule a little bit more, I think is probably part of what enabled Pat Shurmur to go deeper into the playbook and to do things like use his fullback a little bit more. Now, I was impressed also offensively by the fact that the Giants tried to get Saquon Barkley to the edges in the run game a little bit more. I just thought, you know, from the play, you know, to the use of personnel, to the play calling, I thought a lot of progress was made on the offensive side of the ball.
For sure, and it's something that they're going to have to try and keep building on as they get ready on this short week for their next game. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina, special guest Ed Valentine of Big Blue View and Big Blue View Radio. We're going to take a short break, come back, and talk about the defense. Stay with us.
The Locked On Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NFL Net to get all the latest breaking news and game highlights from the Locked On Podcast Network NFL hosts, all on one convenient feed. On Instagram, Locked On NFL Net gives you the biggest stories, including audio cuts as provided by the various Locked On NFL team hosts. Make sure you follow Locked On NFL Net on both Twitter and Instagram to get your daily fill of the NFL.
Welcome back, Giant fans. Patricia Traina with Ed Valentine of Big Blue View and Big Blue View Radio. Try and say that 10 times fast, Ed.
No, I'm gonna leave that to you, Patty. You're hosting. This is your show, so you can deal with that.
Oh my goodness, I was practicing before you came on, and thankfully I didn't stumble over that. But anyway, we're talking Giants 49ers. The Giants with a 27-23 win. Yes, you heard that correctly, Giant fans. A win on Monday Night Football. We just finished breaking down the offense, and Ed, let's turn our attention now to the defensive side of the ball. And I don't know about you, but the one thing that seemed to remain consistent from the first eight games is, where is the pass rush?
I don't know, Patty. When you find it, you know, let me know, or better yet, you know, send an email to James Betcher and let him know, because there wasn't one. There hasn't been one. You know, it picked up a little bit, you know, before the bye week when Olivier Vernon came back, but there really was no pass rush. I think if I remember the stat correctly, I think no sacks, and I think in 39 dropbacks, the Giants managed to hit Nick Mullins three times. And that's just, you know, all I can say about that is thank God that he's a young man, an undrafted free agent quarterback playing in his second game. Because if that was Drew Brees or Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, I just cannot imagine how many points, you know, would have been put up last night.
Yeah, it would have been ugly for sure. And, you know, speaking of ugly, you know, an old problem seemed to resurface again for the Giants, and that is containing the tight end. George Kittle, a guy who, by the way, I really liked when he came out in the draft. I was hoping maybe the Giants would take a chance on him later in the rounds, but I think that was the year they went with Evan Ingram instead. George Kittle ended up leading the 49ers with 9 receptions out of 10 pass targets, 83 yards, didn't score, but my gosh, Ed, this is what, the third time this season, and I think the second week in a row, the Giants defense has struggled with containing the opposing tight end.
All I can say is this, Patty, you know, memo to James Betcher, matching up Landon Collins one-on-one against a really good pass catching tight end is a really, really bad idea. I don't know what made the Giants think that was going to work, but it was never going to work. And you know, Kittle just made Landon Collins look awful last night.
Yeah, and there were a couple times, I think, also, didn't they move away from Collins on Kittle? And I want to say they put, was it Alec Ogletree they put on him? And that the results there weren't that much better?
That didn't work either. I think the only incompletion of the entire night, you know, thrown in Kittle's direction was with Michael Thomas in coverage. And, I was just wondering why the Giants didn't do that more often. But, it was brutally obvious that when you look at the Giants back seven, and when you look at the linebackers, the easy target in the passing game is Alec Ogletree. And when you look at the corners and the safeties, you know, we know that, you know, Curtis Riley is what he is, and Curtis Riley just can't tackle. You know, I think I probably had a better chance of tackling Matt Breida on that 3-yard touchdown run, you know, than Curtis Riley did. He basically just sort of stepped aside or got run through. I'm not sure which, but it didn't look good either way. But you look at the passing game, Ogletree and Collins are the two guys to target, and the 49ers did that last night, you know, and exposed both players.
Yeah, they sure did. I mean, not a good night in coverage for Collins. Ogletree, you know, just not a good night, not one of his better games. But you know, it was interesting, Ed, because the Giants did use a lot more of the big nickel package. And like you said, I'm kind of surprised they didn't try and get Michael Thomas in covering, you know, Kittle, especially given, you know, how Kittle had been so productive coming into this game.
Oh, I would agree, Patty. Obviously, for years, it's been a sore spot, and I, you know, the covering of the tight ends. And I just thought, you know, in retrospect, I think if he had to do it over again, and when he watches the film, I think that James Betcher will realize that maybe the Giants thought, you know, Landon Collins versus, you know, George Kittle would be a matchup that they wanted, you know, but it was just a bad idea.
It certainly was. Now, a guy who did have a fairly good game is someone who we haven't really heard a whole lot of because, you know, his snaps had been reduced or whatever. But B.J. Goodson coming up with not one but two interceptions, the first two of his career. Now, this is an interesting guy, Ed, because if you remember back to, I think it was last year, his first game, B.J. Goodson put up close to, I want to say, 20 tackles total in the week one game. And then he had some injury issues, ended up missing most of the season. This year, he's come in, you know, into the 3-4, and there's been times when he's been invisible, times when, he, you know, his, like I said, his snap count has been reduced, but he had himself a game last night.
Yes, he did, Patty. And B.J. Goodson is a guy who, you know, I find myself with mixed feelings about Goodson sometimes, because even now I'm still not sure what kind of a player he is or he is going to be long term. What I do know, you know, last night, both of those interceptions that he made, I mean, they weren't tremendous coverage plays in terms of him, you know, breaking on the ball. But what he showed last night is something that Pat Shurmur has to love, because you and I both know that Shurmur talks all the time about liking guys who can catch the football. And B.J. Goodson came up with two interceptions off deflections last night. You know, balls that, to be honest, probably are not easy catches to make, you know, because the ball's wobbling up in the air. So, I mean, those are plays that are game-changing plays, and it was good to see, you know, it was good to see Goodson make an impact. I think it hasn't been the way that he would like it to be, but it was impressive last night.
It sure was. And can we talk about another young guy who we got? I mean,
more Lorenzo Carter, please.
Yes, yes, yes. More Lorenzo Carter. He finished second on the team in tackles with 7 total, 6 solo. He had half of the team's 6 tackles for a loss. He had a quarterback hit. Ed, they got to get this kid on the field more. I know right now, you know, he's still having trouble shedding some blocks, especially in run defense. But my goodness, this kid, every time he gets on the field, I mean, it's like, wow.
Well, this is what they drafted him for. They drafted him for that athleticism. They drafted him for that playmaking ability. And, you know, I used the more Lorenzo Carter please phrase because I saw your tweet last night. I stole it from my Kudos and Wet Willies this morning. So I had to jump in. I had to throw that out there. But, you know, I look at the snap counts this morning and he still played less than half the snaps. And I'm like, would you please just put him out there, you know, put him out there and let him play.
Well, I think, like I said, one of the issues with him, and it'll be something they'll fix, obviously, but he's still not there as a run defender. He's making progress in that area, but you know, he needs a year in the weight room, needs to get a little more bulk up top, get a little stronger to where he can shed some of these guys. I think there are times when he's getting caught up in the wash and, you know, not getting off blocks. But you know what? I just love what this guy brings to the defense, and I just if they keep Olivier Vernon next year, to me, an edge rushing duo of Vernon and Carter. Oh, man, I can't wait to see something like that.
Let me just say this, Patty, and it extends beyond Lorenzo Carter. The Giants are 2-7, and you can complain about a lot of things. You can complain about a lot of decisions that got made. But can you complain about a draft haul that includes Saquon Barkley, Will Hernandez, B.J. Hill, and Lorenzo Carter? I don't think so.
Definitely not. Definitely not. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and Ed Valentine at Big Blue View. We're going to take our final break, come back, talk about special teams, and we're also going to wrap up with some other thoughts about the Giants' win over the San Francisco 49ers, the 27-23 victory. Stay with us.
Hey, Giant fans. Is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Well, your company could be mentioned right now, right here on the Locked On Giants podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors they hear on their favorite podcasts. Our demographics is 98% male, with more education and earning than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast. For more information on our very affordable advertising rates, email lockedongiantspodcast@gmail.com.
Welcome back, Giant fans. Patricia Traina with Ed Valentine of Big Blue View and Big Blue View Radio. And we are breaking down the Giants' 27-23 win over the San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football. And Ed, let's turn our attention now to special teams because, you know, it was interesting. I thought the special teams had they started off shaky, but they steadied out. You know, there were a couple penalties, I think, on the first couple of plays on special teams. But I think we've got to start with Riley Dixon. You know, this is a guy, and I tweeted this last night. He finished with a 47.6 average, a 42.8 net. He put 3 out of his 5 punts inside the 20. They were down by his coverage guys. Just a phenomenal yet underrated performance by Dixon, who's done this not just this week, but all throughout the season.
He's been solid all year, Patty, and we learned something else last night, too. He can tackle.
Yes, he can.
Yeah, when you think back on the game, I think that was his very first punt of the night. And, you know, you go back over a game, a close one like that. And if he doesn't make that tackle, maybe the Giants don't win.
Yeah, that was one of the underrated plays for sure of the game. But, you know, again, it's funny. I think back to the offseason when the Giants made that trade. And again, they gave up a conditional 7th to the Broncos to get Riley. The Giants had 2 7th-round picks. And I don't remember who it was, but someone from the media, I think it was very critical of Dave Gettleman for making that trade. And, you know, at the time I was like, look, they have 2 7th-round picks. How often does a 7th-round pick stick on the roster anyway? It was a low-risk, high-reward type of trade. And you know, in the beginning, Dixon was a little shaky, was inconsistent, but he's since settled down, and he has truly been an asset for that special teams unit.
Yes, he has, Patty. You know, it's an underrated thing, but you know, you and I have talked about it before. You know, field position. Field position is critical, and one of the keys to field position is having a solid punter who hits the ball where it's, you know, where his coverage team is expecting it to go.
For sure. And, you know, on the other side of this, look at the kicking game just real quick. Aljig Rosas, again, perfect on his both field goal attempts of 20 and 31 yards. But Ed, I think this is the second time this season, at least, he had a kickoff out of bounds. And if I'm not mistaken, that kickoff out of bounds led to a 49er score.
Yeah. Memo to Aldrick, the big wide white lines on the sides, The ball needs to stay in between them, please.
Seriously, I mean, I think that was, what, his second one this year that's happened, and both have led to scores?
At least two this year, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was really the only blemish on his performance last night, but that was a big one. I mean, that one, you there's not enough cover up in the world to make to hide that sucker. Moving on, let's talk about the return game. Okay,
Corey Coleman.
Corey Coleman, yeah, 51-yard kickoff return. He had three returns total for 92 yards, but the big 51-yarder, I don't know about you, Ed, but I was sitting there going, please no flags, please no flags.
Well, there was also, I think, a 43-yarder that got brought back because of a penalty. To be honest, I expected Quadri Henderson as the kickoff returner last night. But, you know, I don't think Corey Coleman has ever done that in an NFL game before. But obviously he showed why the Giants gave him a chance there. You know, the Giants, I think, are Coleman's fourth team this year. He got traded by Cleveland. He got cut by the Bills who traded for him. He got cut twice by the Patriots. The Giants brought him in basically saying, we think he has talent. He's a former first-round pick. Maybe he can be part of the future. And he sure made the Giants look good last night. I mean, with the kickoff returns and with a nice catch for a first down as well.
He certainly did. And on punt returns, let me just see, Quadri Henderson only had the one opportunity, managed 7 yards out of it. But yet the Giants still won. The starting field possession battle, their average starting drive was on their own 34. Frisco's was on their own 26. And I've said this so many times, the team that usually wins the starting field position battle is usually going to be the one that comes out on top. And that was the case in this week's game.
Yes, it was, Patty. The only thing I'll say about Quadri Henderson is the young man has more guts than I do, stepping up and trying to make that catch on that punt where he got run into, you know, without bothering to call a fair catch. That's more courage than I would have. I would not only fair catch that, I think I'd get the heck out of the way.
You'd probably run backwards knowing you.
Probably.
Never change, Ed. Never change. So overall, you know, a solid effort. Again, wasn't perfect. The Giants, you know, it's interesting. I'm looking at the time of possession here, and the Giants, if I'm reading this right, they lost the time of possession. Is that right? 25? Let me just see. Let me double check the other page here. Yeah, the Giants lost the time of possession, 25-46 to the 49ers, who had it 34 minutes and 14 seconds. But the Giants were more efficient with their opportunities, something we haven't seen. You know, the defense, they held in there. I think the biggest gap was no more than 10 points all throughout. They fought and they finally put it together. Again, not perfect, but something they can build on. And Ed, in these last couple of minutes of this segment and of the show, how do they build on from here?
Well, I think that what we saw, Patty, a lot of the things we saw on offense are things that we need to continue to see. We need to continue to see the Giants use Saquon Barkley as a real weapon in the passing game. We need to continue to see them develop an identity as a running team. I think, you know, last night they tried more to get to the edges instead of just pounding away through the, you know, right up the gut of the defense. I think they just need to continue to identify what the weapons that they have in the passing game do well and use those. And obviously, if the offensive line continues to develop, you know, Jamon Brown made a difference. Spencer Pulley, you know, had a good game last night. I don't think you can complain even about the work that Chad Wheeler did last night. So I think that we saw some positive steps from the Giants, especially on offense. And we saw, you know, some of the young guys get some time on defense and make an impact as well. So I felt like the game was progress. I felt like it was something that the Giants really needed to do or really, really needed to see. And over the remainder of the season, that's really what you want. You want to see something that makes you feel like this team is pointed in the right direction heading into 2019?
Giant fans, that will wrap up this week's show. Great, as always, Ed, having you on. I mean, it's like old times. It's like you never missed a beat.
It's fun, Patty. Jeepers, it's been a couple of weeks, you know, since we've gotten to do this. It's like old times.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? Who knows that if they keep winning like this, we might have to keep the trend going, right?
Oh, man. You're gonna turn me into some sort of a good luck charm now?
Hey, listen, you know, it's like I tweeted on last night. I was joking around with this. When my fantasy football team record is actually the opposite of the Giants' one-loss record. And the two times I've lost, the Giants have won. So you talk about weird coincidences, right?
There you go. There you go. So, hey, you know, but you know, fantasy football, you know, do we really need to talk about fantasy football, Patty?
Nah, just a guilty pleasure I indulge in. But on that note, Giant fans, we're going to call it a show. Ed, tell everybody where they can find you nowadays, because I know a lot of people write in and they're like, where's Ed at?
At bigblueview.com on Twitter, and also my personal account at Valentine_Ed. And you can always, of course, check out bigblueview.com. Check out Big Blue View Radio, where I'm doing two shows a week. Chris Flum and Dan Pizzuta, contributors at Big Blue View, are also doing two shows a week. Patty, one of these days we're actually going to have to get you to come on over on my new show.
I know. Anytime. You know where to find me.
Yes, I do.
All right, Giant fans, make sure you stay tuned this week to Locked On Giants coming up Wednesday, the crossover show with James Yarko of Locked On Bucks, Emery Hunt on Thursday for Twitter Thursday. Get those questions in, LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com or at Patricia_Traina, Traina. Make sure you tag them Ask P-Train, P-T-R-A-I-N. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.